It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. It's Independence Day in Lebanon, but celebrations marking the country's liberation from French rule have been canceled. Instead, the country is mourning yesterday's assassination of Industry Minister Pierre Gemayel, the sixth anti-Syrian figure to be killed in Lebanon in nearly 2 years. Lebanese leaders called for calm as young men poured into the streets of Beirut's Christian neighborhoods overnight. So far, there have been mainly peaceful vigils, but there is fear that they could turn violent. NPR's Peter Kenyon is in Beirut. Hello.
Good morning, Renee.
You visited a number of Christian neighborhoods last night. What are people saying about this killing?
Well, the streets were thick with young Christian men and Lebanese troops trying to keep order, and other than some burning tires, some broken glass, it was largely a peaceful night. Most of the comments I heard were along the lines of, it's a disaster, uniformly negative. It's a setback for dialogue. How can we talk with people now? What do we do next? Not much hope. The young men said they intended to stay away from violent protests, but they also said if their leaders asked them to take to the streets to defend the government, they would turn out in huge numbers.
How important a figure was Pierre Gemayel?
I'd say he was more of a rising politician than a leader. He was the youngest member of the cabinet at age 34. But his killing is a painfully symbolic reminder of the bloody past here, partly because of this family history. Pierre Gemayel's grandfather founded the Falange Maronite Christian movement in Lebanon, or a military movement, after Pierre Gemayel's murder yesterday. His father, former President Amin Gemayel, recalled his own brother Bashir, who'd been blown up nearly a quarter century ago, just after winning the presidency. Also his niece Maya, who was killed when she was just 2 years old. This latest killing also reminds the Lebanese of the sectarian and confessional strife that marked the country's civil war, something Lebanon's been desperately trying to put behind it for decades now. So I think that's the real significance.
Now, there were already worries, Peter, that street demonstrations called by the opposition and led by Hezbollah could destabilize things there in Lebanon. Where does this assassination leave the anti-Syrian government now? It's a weak government, as it was.
Tenuous at best, I'd say. The government had already lost six opposition cabinet ministers. Now, with Gemayel's killing, it's close to collapse, just mathematically. The loss of two more ministers, for whatever reason, would leave it unable to function legally. That mounts tremendous pressure at a time when it's trying to get back to the table with Hezbollah and the other opposition parties to talk about a national unity government. Hezbollah says it's ready for street protests against this government, but now the largest public display will be Pierre Gemayel's funeral tomorrow. There's a good deal of speculation and worry for how peaceful that will be.
And at the UN, the Security Council yesterday approved an international tribunal to try suspects in another very high-profile Lebanese assassination, and that's the bombing death of former Prime Minister Rafik Hariri last year. How important is that to the situation now there in Beirut?
Well, the government feels it's critical. Hariri's son Saad, the majority leader, says bluntly that just as he believes Syrian agents were behind his father's killing, Syria had a hand in Gemayel's assassination. Damascus, of course, denies both charges. This international tribunal still needs final approval from the Lebanese government, and that's important because while Hezbollah insists it's not trying to scuttle this court, it's not clear if the votes will be able to be raised.
And finally, this killing comes at a time when there are efforts being made to enlist Syria to help bring an end to violence in Iraq. In a sense, it couldn't have come at a worse time.
It's another layer of complication to an already heavily tangled situation. Many here see this whole struggle in Lebanon as well as a proxy war with the U.S. backing the government, Syria and Iran favoring and in some cases funding the opposition. Now, like Iran, Syria sees an opportunity in Iraq. They think they can use their influence there as a bargaining point, and the reestablishment of ties between Baghdad and Damascus would seem to be part of that. Now, a similar logic could be applied here in Lebanon, where arguably the closest thing to a success the White House has had in the Middle East was the pressure that forced Syria to withdraw its troops last year. If this government now falls and a pro-Syrian or dysfunctional national unity government takes its place, some say that success would be badly tarnished.
Thanks very much. NPR's Peter Kenyon in Beirut reporting on the aftermath of the latest assassination in Lebanon.